Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. I am excited to say that the Pro Football Scouting Podcast is the highest ranked football podcast in all of iTunes today. Could not have done it without you guys. I appreciate it. There are some exciting things coming up on the show and really with the brand. So right now, the Steve the Scout website is being built. I'm told it is going to be about 3 to 4 weeks until it's done. But definitely excited for that and to give you guys more great content. I recently put together in my other bedroom a green screen studio where I have a camera in there, green screen background, so going to be doing some more stuff with YouTube, so definitely stay tuned to that. My goal is really to provide you guys with intriguing content, give you meat and potatoes, but make it interesting, but also be very analytical as well. So with that being said, I give you guys the opportunity to ask me questions. And again, you know, I always say if you're going to ask me questions, keep it focused on the game. So, I mean, if it's going to be off the field stuff or, you know, what do I think about, you know, the new kickoff rule? I mean, really, I'd like to focus mainly on evaluation of players. So if you guys have something on a specific player or want to talk about something you saw, you know, in a game, you know, really what I want to say is let's keep it on the field for the most part. So those will make the best questions. So with that being said, I want to answer your guys' questions. I can't promise each week I'll get to everyone, but I will try to get to you guys. If not that week, then, you know, definitely within the next few weeks after that. So some questions that I'm going to be answering today. And I'm going to start out with my man, Tyler. Tyler had asked me, and this is an interesting question, Tyler, so I appreciate it, my friend. He had asked me, you know, you don't seem to be very high on Josh Allen. You always criticize him. Can you elaborate more as to why, and would he be successful under Bill Belichick playing in New England? So that is what Tyler had asked me. He didn't say it in exactly that way. I'm really paraphrasing what he said, but that was really what Tyler wanted to know. And I'll say this, Tyler, if you look at Josh Allen, you know, the first thing I want to look at really is short to medium range accuracy, because that's where the majority of passes are thrown. They're short to medium range passes. It's great if a guy can throw a great deep ball, but the majority of passes are not bombs down the field. So when I look at Josh Allen, in terms of his short to medium range accuracy, I watched a lot of games. It's really inconsistent. I'm not a big fan of his feet work. He has a lot of arm strength, but he doesn't really have a lot of zip. You know, when you look at him make passes, yeah, he has a huge arm. So, you know, 3 out of 10 times if he has a really hard pass, he'll make it look incredible because he has that cannon of an arm. But you definitely need a lot. You definitely need a lot more than that. I just don't think, you know, outside of the big arm, that he really has the tools. Now, would he be successful if he was in New England? I think he'd be more successful in New England than he will be in Buffalo. Not to say anything bad about Buffalo's coaching staff, but really, when you look at New England, it's the best coaching staff in the NFL. It's consistently been that way for a while, and they've proven it. So when you go back and look at Josh Allen, yeah, he has a lot of things to me that, you know, you can't really fix with coaching. But again, I think Bill Belichick would make him better. The reason why is that what the Patriots are really good at, and this has always been, you know, a big part of their secret sauce, is that they don't ask players to do things that they're physically not capable of, that are not really a scheme fit for that player. They devise a scheme, and they know how to get the most out of every player. They use that player for their strengths, and they maximize them for that. So that's why, you know, the Patriots probably do more situational things than any other football team. So, yeah, I think he'd be more successful there because I think Belichick would get the most out of him. But ultimately, you know, I just don't think he has a lot of the tools. Again, short to medium range accuracy, you really can't coach that. In terms of arm strength, he's got it, but really lacking on the zip. And, you know, just his feet work and pocket presence, you know, it's really less than desirable for me. Just watching him on tape, there's really nothing that wows me about him. Doesn't seem to, you know, have good anticipation. So I could go on, but yeah, those are reasons that I don't think Josh Allen is a good quarterback. But yeah, I do think that he'd be better in New England. The next question that I want to get to is from Robert Fitzgerald. And Robert, you had mentioned four rookie running backs, and you wanted me to say, you know, how do I think these guys will stack up in terms of production? And you had asked me about Royce Freeman, Ronald Jones, Kerryon Johnson, and Darius Geis. Royce Freeman, the running back from Oregon. I've watched a good deal of tape on Royce Freeman. What I believe Royce Freeman has is he has good straightaway speed, but I'll tell you, in terms of game speed, I really don't see it. When I watch him run, there's a lack of explosion. Yeah, he's got better than average development, better than average feel for lane development. But you know, ultimately, a lot of those big runs that he had were easy runs, and he would never have those kind of big runs in the NFL. I just think he's an average back. And not only that, you know, for him being as big as he is, you know, he doesn't play all that physical. Kerryon Johnson is smaller than him, not as strong. And Kerryon Johnson plays a lot more physical. So when I look at Royce Freeman, you know, even him on the bench, you know, he didn't bench as many reps as a guy his size would. He seems to be injury prone. I'm just not a big fan of his. When I look at Ronald Jones, to me, in terms of a pure running back and a guy being just someone who has the potential to be great, and a guy that I think is a home run lock, that a lot of people don't see him as, and it blows my mind how they don't. And that's the other guy you mentioned, Ronald Jones, the running back from USC. The Buccaneers took him in the second round, and to me, behind Barkley, Ronald Jones was definitely number two. When I look at Kerryon Johnson, I see Kerryon Johnson is a guy that, yes, he's a great receiving back. You know, he's got good explosion. Here's my problem with Kerryon is that in terms of him being able to have a good feel for the lanes and running between the tackles, I just don't think that's really going to be his strong suit. The other problem is that he has a small frame. He benched 225, I think, nine times. He runs very physical. So I think he's a guy that can help you out, but you know, doesn't have a good feel for lane development, and is not a guy that is going to last very long. I think he can have a few good years, but to be honest, I just don't see him being a long-term solution at running back. And Darius Geis, you got to remember Darius Geis, the running back from LSU. His last year in college, he was not at full speed. But if you go back and watch him before that, Darius Geis was one of the most explosive running backs in college football. So, ranking those guys in terms of production, I'm gonna say that Darius Geis is actually gonna have the most production. Although I do feel Ronald Jones is the better running back because Geis is playing in a system that's really just perfect for him. So I would say in terms of production and what I expect, I would put Darius Geis number one, Ronald Jones number two, Kerryon Johnson three, because Detroit doesn't have much of a, much of a running attack. And then I'd put Royce Freeman fourth. So appreciate your question, Robert. And the last question that I want to end on, and it's the reason why I'm ending on this one is that Malcolm from Germany had a lot to say. And what Malcolm, he wrote me a long email, and it was really good. And I'm going to read you most of it because I think what he wrote, he made a great argument. But essentially, he was talking about my past Hall of Fame episode where I had and if you guys haven't listened to him, every Monday I have a series called Hall of Fame, where what I do is I focus on one position each week, and then I say which players are locks for the Hall of Fame today and which ones, are about 2 to 3 years away. So he basically said he didn't like the fact that, that I ranked Big Ben ahead of Philip Rivers in terms of being able to get to the Hall of Fame. And he said, here's what I have a problem with. He said, you ranked Big Ben ahead of Philip Rivers. They are at the very least on the same level, but I take Phil over Big Ben any day. You cannot deny that Philip Rivers had more seasons where he's been great, as well as greater than Big Ben himself with much less talent around him. Ben's been playing maybe behind the best wide receiver in football for the last 8 years or so. He's always had a great O-line, and what he said at the end of it was, I watch a lot of film too, and Phil is consistently great. He's accurate. He's so smart that he recognizes everything going on the field. And he and what he also said is that really, he recognizes everything on the field, and he's going to win games as long as the defense do their part. So Malcolm, so I'll say this: when you go back, and I know in your email, you had really made the main point that I ranked Philip Rivers ahead of Big Ben, and then you went on for a while saying that why is Eli Manning even considered for the Hall of Fame? You said it's absolutely beyond me that he's in consideration. You said yes, of course Eli ranks incredibly high in passing yards and TDs because he's played in so many games. I get all that. So it sounds like what I know, Malcolm, what you were getting at was this: was for the 2004 class of quarterbacks, why is Eli Manning considered a Hall of Famer? And then why is Big Ben ranked ahead of Philip Rivers? So, Malcolm, I will say this, from a scouting perspective, if you were to ask me, and I've watched plenty of games with these guys, especially Eli Manning, because I am a Giants fan. But if I go back and watch the tape of all these guys, in terms of which of these three quarterbacks was the best pure quarterback, Philip Rivers clearly was the best pure quarterback. I don't give a crap what anyone says. So, Malcolm, I agree with you on that. When you want to talk about consistent play and who's been the better quarterback, who's been better at recognizing things, although Eli's been good at that as well, Philip Rivers has clearly, in my opinion, been the best quarterback. If you want to look at regular season play and the limited time he's had in the playoffs, yeah, Philip Rivers is definitely the best quarterback. And in terms of how I'd rank them, look, I'm a Giants fan. I got a Giants tattoo on my left arm with all the years they won the Super Bowl. But if I had to rank them, I would say that I'd put Philip Rivers number one, Big Ben number two, and Eli number three. You had mentioned, so one thing I'll say is that I love the Giants, but I'm also objective as well. And then you had also mentioned, Malcolm, that Eli Manning, he really had two great runs for the 2007 and 2011 Super Bowl, and that's really what's getting him in there. Yeah, absolutely. And ultimately, at the end of the day, Malcolm, what I'm telling you is, do I think they're going to get in? Because I'm not the one voting. What I'm really talking about is what are the writers going to vote on? And in terms of the writers voting, yes, because of Eli Manning's two Super Bowl wins, he right now is closer to making the Hall of Fame than Philip Rivers for that reason. If Eli Manning never won any Super Bowls, yes, it would be a totally different conversation. But yeah, again, I agree. Philip Rivers is definitely, in my opinion, the best of these quarterbacks. All right, guys, that is it for today. I appreciate you guys sending your questions. Send questions to stevethescout81@gmail.com. Again, stevethescout81@gmail.com. Until next time, guys, this is Steve the Scout signing off.